It's Monday, the 6th of November, 2017. It's 11 o'clock in the morning, which must mean it's time for the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, on Channel Radio. I hope you are all well and enjoying this lovely Kent morning. It's a bit fresh out there, but it's quite nice to see blue skies after a few days of greyness and rain. Okay, on today's show, we are going to be discussing a few different subjects, and we're going to be playing a few songs as we go along. One of the things we're going to talk about this morning, very briefly, is the subject of PPIs. Now, before you switch off and you think PPI is about personal payment insurance or whatever it's called, it's about proton pump inhibitors. And it's a subject that's quite interesting because there are a lot of people that are on these drugs to suppress stomach acid, and they do have some quite serious side effects. So we're going to discuss that. We're going to discuss more ways to relax and de-stress. We are going to talk about improving sleep quality and quantity. We have a special guest in the studio this morning, Stephanie Unthank from Total Fitness by Stephanie. Morning, Steph.
Morning.
We're going to talk to Steph around 11:30 and find out more about what she does. And then we're going to talk about health in the workplace before we wrap up around midday. Okay, so on the subject of PPIs, actually, before we do that, just a quick disclaimer, a bit of housekeeping. The purpose of the show is to help to educate, to enlighten you as to ways to improve your own health. And all content is provided for general information only and is based on my knowledge, my experience, and often my opinion. The content of the show should not be treated as a substitute for medical advice of your own doctor or other healthcare professional. And if you have any concerns about your general health, you should contact your doctor or healthcare provider. You can contact the show. We're on Twitter live at Health Radio Show with the hashtag Health Matters Radio Show. You can also find us on Facebook. If you search Health Radio Show, you will find the Facebook page for the show. Please tweet in, say hello if you want to shout out at Health Radio Show. It will be great to hear from you. I had a few tweets in already, so I will catch up with those and read those out in about 10 minutes or so. So back to the subject of PPIs. So proton pump inhibitors. If you suffer with acid reflux, so we're not talking here heartburn, we are talking acid reflux, which is significantly more painful and more serious than heartburn, you are probably on a drug called a PPI. Now, there are lots of brands out there. One of them is called Omeprazole. I'm sure some of you will recognize that name. And what these PPIs do is they help to reduce down stomach acid. So when you've got that pain in your esophagus, when you've got the pain from your stomach up to your throat, the PPIs are supposed to help reduce the pain. And to be fair, I was on PPIs for about 10 years. I came off them a couple of years ago, but I was completely dependent. And I remember not being able to go for more than a day without taking these PPIs. I would be in excruciating pain. So in terms of what they do deal with the symptom. They do reduce the pain. But the way they do it, in my opinion, is perhaps not that good. There's some research out recently that has suggested that if you take PPIs on a regular basis, that your risk of stomach cancer increases exponentially. So they did this research. It was about 70,000 people over 7 years in Hong Kong. And what they found was that if people were taking these drugs long term, the risk of stomach cancer increased by eightfold. Which I don't know about you, but I find that quite scary. If you're taking a drug to deal with a symptom, you don't want to get something more serious than actually what you're taking the drug to deal with. But it is interesting that this research has suggested that the drugs should only be taken for a short period of time. Now, I wasn't told this. I was on the drugs from 2005, 2006, up until 2015. And it was only because I was so dependent on these drugs to take the pain away, I thought I would research and find out what they did and if they were any good for me, and also if they weren't, how I could find ways to come off them. But this research paper has suggested that if you take the drug daily, Your risk of stomach cancer increases by 4.5 times. If you take it on a uh, on for an extended period of time, then that goes up to around 8 or 9 times the risk of contracting stomach cancer. So for me, there was a risk. I decided I would research ways to come off of it, and actually I did find a way to come off of this drug that I was completely dependent on. Within 3 months, I was completely drug-free. Now, if you're interested in finding out how I did that, then please contact the show or drop me a line by email, neil@i-nutrition.co.uk. I'm not going to go into it on air because it's quite a detailed process that I went through. But the point there is that often for the drugs that you're taking for these symptoms, you can find ways to come off of them. And when you read the side effects and when you look at the potential consequences of taking these drugs, in my view, trying to find ways to deal with them naturally is a far better solution. So, yeah, if you're taking PPIs, if you're taking omeprazole, if you're taking any of those proton pump inhibitors, I would suggest perhaps it's worth having a chat with your doctor to see if, you know, the dosage can be reduced or they can give you a strategy to try to wean you off of the drugs. But certainly if you've been on them long term, and it has been suggested that really you should be on the smallest dose for the shortest period of time. So if you've been on them perhaps for a year or 2 years or like me, perhaps 10 years, then it might be worth having a chat with your GP to see if there's ways that they can advise that you can, you know, reduce the dosage or come off them altogether. And again, if you'd like to contact me, you can contact me through the radio show Twitter feed at Health Radio Show. We'll have a chat and I'll tell you my experience and how I came off them, and you know, maybe that can help you as well. Okay, so we're going to have a quick chat about ways to relax. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about ways to relax without alcohol, because, well, you know, many of us like to come home and have a glass of wine or two to chill out, and actually that's not a great habit. It's not a good habit to get into. It's certainly not good for your health. So some of the things that we've discussed over the last couple of weeks are things like reading a book, doing some gardening, listening to music, going out jogging, meditating, dancing, all those sorts of things, all those therapeutic things that are good for the body and also good for the mind. So here's a few more tips that I'm going to give you now to perhaps put into practice to help you to chill out after a stressful day. And as I say, it's better to perhaps try these solutions than reaching for that bottle of wine. So here's a few more tips. So spend time with close family and friends. Nothing quite like spending some quality time with your family and those close to you. Make an effort to meet new people. Now, for those of you that know me, you'll know that I'm an avid networker. And it's great to get out and meet new people and make new connections and have new conversations and find people that are interesting and that you can engage with. Really, really good for the mind, and highly recommended. So for those of you out there that are in business and have the opportunity to network, then, yeah, get out there, network, meet new people and make those new connections. Do something special for the person that you love in your life. So that might be just buying a bouquet of flowers, or maybe going out to dinner, or just spending some time with them, walking down the beach. It doesn't have to cost you any money. But spending quality time relaxing with the person you love can be really good as a tool to help you to wind down. Learn how to sing. Now, many of us think we can sing. In reality, most of us can't sing. And certainly for the karaoke sessions that I've been to with some of my friends, yeah, they're much better singers than they think they are. Sorry, much worse than they think they are. So learning to sing, I mean, we covered dancing last time, and again, it's taking up a new skill that can occupy the mind. So, you know, go out karaokeing, but perhaps take it seriously and use music and use your own voice, your own singing voice. It doesn't have to be in front of a microphone. It can be in a shower. It can be while you're doing the gardening. But wherever the urge takes you, you know, sing. It can be quite therapeutic. So lots of interesting tips there to help you to find ways to relax without necessarily reaching for a bottle of wine. And I encourage you to try some of them and to perhaps give me some feedback and tell me how you got on. Okay, so we are going to discuss next sleep. It's going to be the main topic of the day. And I'm going to tell you some ways to improve your sleep quality and quantity with some tips on that. But before we go into that, we're going to go on to the next song. It's a classic from the 80s, one of my favourites. It's Phil Oakley and Giorgio Moroder, and it's Together in Electric Dreams. Enjoy. Dreams by Giorgio Moroder and Phil Oakley, one of the classics from the 80s. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, and my special guest today, Steph Unthank. Say hello, Steph.
Hi, Neil.
Good to see you today.
Thanks for having me. Thanks
you are listening to the Health Matters Radio Show. The Twitter handle is at Health Radio Show. The hashtag is hashtag Health Matters Radio Show. Feel free to drop me a tweet to say hello, to say hi, for a shout out, or even to ask a question. If I can answer it on air, I will do. If not, I will make an effort to answer it for the next show next Monday. So a quick shout out this morning for the Friends of the Wisdom Hospice. Their website is, let me just try and find that. We'll find that in a second. They have a Christmas fair coming up on the 25th of November. at 11 o'clock at the Wisdom Hospice, which is in Rochester, I think. Let me just double check that. And what they're looking for is they're looking for some wine and water. So if you can help the Friends of Wisdom Hospice out, that would be really good. As I say, their event is on the 25th of November from 11 o'clock. And I've just had an email from Beth. Hi, Beth. Good to hear from you. So it's from 11 o'clock till 3 o'clock. They want donations of wine for the wine and water stall. They're hoping to raise over £300 on the stall, which could pay for two specialist palliative care nurses for the day. And any teddy bears that are in need of rehoming, you can drop them off as well for their Adopt a Teddy stall. So if you want to drop Beth a line, I'm sure you can contact her through the website. It's www.fforfreddyowh.org.uk. That's www.fowh.org.uk. Drop Beth a line. You can contact them on their phone number, which is 01634 831163. Find them on the website, and if you can help them out for their fair on the 25th of November, I'm sure your help will be much appreciated. Okay, another quick tweet from Jules Serkin, saying, have a great show. It's good to hear from you, Jules, and we will have to catch up with you soon. So we will crack on with our next subject, which is ways to improve your sleep quality. So last week we discussed some of the myths and facts surrounding sleep, like the old 8 hours a day adage. So today we're going to talk about ways to improve your quality of sleep. So if you're struggling with bad sleep, you know how debilitating it can be sometimes. And I'm going to give you some ways that might help you if you put them into practice to actually not just improve your quality, but also the quantity. So keep in sync with your body's natural sleep cycle. So try and get to sleep at the same time every day. So even if you have a late night and you maybe go to bed 2 or 3 hours later than you would do normally, try and get up at the same time. Now, that's a lot easier said than done, as I'm sure you'll appreciate. But if you get up at the same time, but have a nap, perhaps in the mid to late afternoon, just to catch up with your sleep, what you'll find is you won't disrupt your body's natural sleep cycle. The worst thing is to go to bed at 10 at night, wake up at 6, for 5 days a week, and then for it to go wrong at the weekend and you get up later and go to bed later. So try and keep in step with your body's natural sleep cycle. And even at weekends, most of us that are in business get up early, 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning perhaps, but then get up at 10 or 11 o'clock at weekends, and it really does mess up your sleep cycle. So try and keep to the same sleep cycle, even if you've had a late night. Control your exposure to light. Now, people that know me will know that I talk a lot about melatonin. Now, melatonin is the sleep hormone, but melatonin is created by serotonin, which is the feel-good hormone. Melatonin will make you feel sleepy if you are in a darkened room at night when the light starts to fade. So it's a naturally produced hormone that helps us to fall asleep. But there are some things that disrupt the production of melatonin. And one of the classics, and we did touch on it on the show last week, is bright lights. So if you're in a room with bright lights, if you have got your phone on, if you've got the TV on, if you're on your computer, if you're on your tablet late at night, all those sources of blue light in particular will actually inhibit the production of melatonin. Now, you need melatonin for deep sleep. So one of the suggestions is that an hour or so before you go to bed, turn off all devices. Now, I appreciate that is much easier said than done. And I know some people that actually will be on their phone in bed, and you kind of think it's absolute craziness, because all the time you've got your phone on, or you're on your tablet or watching telly, melatonin production is being held back. And you need melatonin for that deep sleep. So say no to late night TV. Don't read with backlit devices. Reading a book's okay, but reading a book on a tablet, on an e-reader, is perhaps not so good. I know you can get filters now that cut out blue light, and that might be a solution, but there's nothing quite like picking up a book and reading a book. And also, if you get up during the night, try not to turn on the main lights. I don't want you tripping over things and hurting yourself, but actually, as soon as you turn on any sort of light, melatonin production then shuts off and your body goes into wake-up mode. I know even someone that's got a red light in their bedroom, and I can't possibly comment on that, but they've got the red light because when they turn on that light, specifically at night when they wake up, the red light waves don't interfere with the melatonin production. So just something to consider there. And I challenge you to turn your phone and your tablet and your computer off an hour before you go to bed for the next couple of weeks and see how you get on, see if that actually improves your sleep quality. And if it does, drop me a line and give me some feedback. But yeah, easier said than done, I fully appreciate. Okay, exercise. Now, we're going to talk about exercise a bit later with Steph. But actually, exercising during the day is really good for you because it wears you out. It makes you feel tired come nighttime. And actually, people that exercise on a regular basis during the day, even light exercise, even going out for a walk, it has been proven that just, you know, small amounts of exercise can improve sleep quality. But don't expect to go out for a walk and suddenly sleep better that night. It can take a while for it to kick in, but it's certainly, you know, aside from the other benefits of regular exercise, it's quite good that exercise can help you to sleep better as well. So some of the things exercise does, you know, it helps you to speed up your metabolism, it helps you to elevate your body temperature, and it also stimulates hormones like cortisol. Now, that isn't a problem if you exercise in the morning or in the afternoon, but it can become a problem if you exercise in the evening. Because you've got an increase in metabolism and an increase in body temperature and an increase in certain hormones that are flowing through your body, some of those can actually affect your sleep quality as well. So the recommendation there is that if you're going to have a vigorous workout, you know, we're not talking about just walking around the block, but if you're going to have a vigorous workout, try not to do it sooner than 2 or 3 hours before you go to bed, because it might actually be affecting your sleep quality and your sleep quantity. So if you are working out late at night, perhaps try and do it a bit earlier in the early evening or afternoon. Be careful about what you eat and drink. Caffeine is a no-no, and people don't realize that caffeine can stay in your system for quite a long time, you know, anything up to 10 to 12 hours. So, you know, it's a stimulant. We drink it to keep us awake. We don't realize perhaps how long caffeine lasts or how long the effects lasts. And also smoking is a stimulant as well. So if you smoke close to bedtime, that can keep you awake. Avoid eating big meals a few hours before you go to bed. I advise all my clients to not eat past about 8 o'clock at night, because, you know, by the time your body's finished digesting that food, then it can focus on helping you to sleep and the process of reparation overnight. If you eat before you go to bed, all the energy is focused on helping your body to digest the food. Avoid alcohol before going to bed. You know, some people like a nightcap, and it helps them to relax, and they think it helps them to go to sleep. But actually, alcohol really does interfere with the sleep cycle. So once you're asleep, alcohol can actually stop you going into that deep REM sleep that you really need to help you to get a fully refreshed night's sleep. Avoid drinking too many liquids in the evening. Yeah, it can be age-related, but some people do have small or weak bladders. And if you're drinking fluids late at night and you're getting up in the night to go to the toilet, maybe that's not so good. So maybe don't drink any fluids an hour or two before you go to bed. And cut back on sugary foods, because actually sugary foods and refined carbs can actually pull you out of deep sleep and can really affect your quality of sleep. And the last tip for the day on sleep is wind down and clear your head. So if you have got a lot going on in your mind, and we spoke about meditation and mindfulness before, take time to perhaps meditate before you go to bed, focus on your breathing. But also, I find it quite useful to have a notepad next to the bed. So if you wake up, if you're one of these people that has an overactive mind and you wake up in the middle of the night with thoughts racing through your head, it's actually really therapeutic to write them down. And just the action of writing them down can help your brain to switch off, because it's written down and you can deal with it in the morning, then your brain reacts to that. So there's lots of ways that you can improve your sleep quality and your quantity. And as we discussed last week, if you're sleeping between 6 to 8 hours, it has been proven that that is the right amount of sleep for most people. And actually, more than 8 hours can be quite damaging to your health. And less than 6 hours can be quite damaging to your health as well. So if you need any more information, if you want any more tips or advice about how to improve your sleep quality or quantity, then please drop me a line. You can contact me through the radio show Twitter feed, or you can contact me via my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk.
Your job vacancies in Kent with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Okay, so before we go on to meet our special guest today, Steph Unthank, then we're going to have a quick song, and it's a song from the 90s, and it's one of his best songs, actually, and I don't think he's bettered it since. It's David Gray and Babylon.
Friday night, I'm going nowhere. All the lights are changing, green to red. Turning over TV stations, situations running through my head. Looking back through time, you know it's clear that I've been blind, I've been a fool. To open up my heart to all that jealousy, that bitterness, that ridicule. Saturday, I'm running wild, and all the lights are changing, red to green. Moving through the crowds, I'm pushing, chemicals are rushing in my bloodstream. Only wish that you were here, you know I'm seeing it so clear. I've been afraid to show you how I really feel, admit to some of those bad mistakes I've made. And if you want it, come and get it, crying out loud. The love that I was giving you never in doubt. Let go your heart, let go your head, and fail it now. Let go your heart, let go your head, and fail it now. Babylon, Babylon. Sunday, all the lights in London, shining sky is fading, red to blue. Kicking through the autumn leaves and wondering where it is you might be going to. Turning back for home, you know I'm feeling so alone, I can't believe. Climbing on the stair, I turn around to see you smiling there. If you want it, come and get it, crying out loud. The love that I was giving you was never in. Yeah.
David Gray and Babylon. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. You can contact this show on Twitter at Health Radio Show with the hashtag Health Matters Radio Show. Drop me a line, say hello, ask me a question, just interact with the show. It'd be good to hear from you out there. Just had a tweet from Health Gets Social saying, I started my Motivational Monday with a healthy power walk and talk with Butterflies 2019. So, yeah, it's good to hear from you. And actually, power walking is fabulous. And if you live near a country park or woodland, it's actually a fantastic way to start the day and start the week. So we're going to crack on. And we have a special guest here this morning. We have Stephanie Unthank from Total Fitness by Stephanie. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through and we're going to find out more about what Steph does and ways and perhaps ways that she might be able to help you in your life. So, hi, Steph. How are you this morning?
I'm really well. Thanks, Neil. Excellent. Yeah, great. Thanks for having me as well. I mean, so far, the things that you've talked about have been extremely interesting. And I think there's some real correlation. I think particularly you've talked about ways to relax and de-stress. And I think that when we start to chat through a bit more with regards to the kind of services that I offer, there's going to be some real correlation there. So I'm really looking forward to this. Thanks.
Fantastic, fantastic. So let's crack on. And right, so tell us more about your background. Where have you come from? How did you get to where you are now as a fitness trainer?
Sure, sure. So really mixed background, actually. I'm a child from a working class family, originally from London. My early childhood and adult life was extremely sporty, quite dance orientated at a competitive level. I was massively into amateur dramatics, which you think, well, where's the connection here then? Did quite a lot of singing and performing arts generally. And then I travelled a bit in my 20s. And then my life really changed when, around about 25 years old, I moved into the world of banking. And I stayed there and worked my way up the career ladder until leaving there some 17 years later. I had a fantastic time. It was fun. It was challenging. It developed me hugely in terms of my personal growth. And I had some wonderful experiences and built great knowledge and foundation for my future. So after working in a corporate environment for as long as I did, I had the opportunity to do something really different. And after, as you can imagine, quite a lot of thought and soul searching, I decided to move into something totally different, which is the world of health and well-being.
Okay.
I guess though, Neil, for me there is a huge connection because particularly in the last kind of 5 or 6 years of working in that corporate environment, I focused quite a lot on projects to do with change management. And around change management, we looked particularly at culture change. And the behavioural change of people and how, you know, we develop people, mentoring people, coaching them, and helping people to be successful. And what I certainly got a huge amount of enjoyment from and felt inspired by myself was the opportunity to inspire others and help people to become the best possible version of themselves. Mm-hmm. So I guess when it came to leaving that banking environment and taking a completely different career path, I kind of looked at, okay, so what do I really love doing? I love inspiring people. I love leading people. I love helping people to recreate themselves, reinvent themselves, and become the best possible version of themselves. How can I do that? Mm-hmm. And then health and well-being for me is really deep-rooted. You know, I come from a background of, you know, I'll be really honest, yo-yo dieting, fads, different exercise regimes, you name it, I've tried it. And actually being able to find stability in living a healthy lifestyle is something that I've found. And so if I can help people to do the same, then, you know, that's really where I want to be. I want to really inspire people to, you know, find sustainable ways of living and having healthy lifestyles and living a healthy lifestyle and making the right choices.
It is quite interesting, actually. You touched on dieting and yo-yo dieting. The amount of people that confuse losing weight with being healthy.
Absolutely.
I'm a great advocate of improving someone's health. And then if they have issues with their weight, the weight thing kind of takes care of itself. But there's a lot of plans out there that focus purely on losing weight.
Absolutely.
And actually, you can do a lot of damage to your health by focusing on losing the weight. So, yeah, it was really interesting what you touched on there. So So what specific ways can you help people? So for the listeners out there, who would be your ideal client? What issues would someone have that would come to you?
So I guess I think I focus on each aspect of well-being to start with, and I think this is the bit that's really, really important to me personally. And you know, you talked early on about opinions and beliefs, and you know, I stand by my beliefs that actually all aspects of well-being are really important. So whether it's the mind and our mindful well-being, mm-hmm. whether it's the body, and the body could be the levels of activity that we take part in every day, or actually what's our exercise regime, or whether it's nutrition, and obviously that for you is something that is really close to you in terms of being able to offer that really holistic nutritional advice. So for me, it's really about people as a whole. So for instance, helping people to understand the relationship that they have with food, helping them to build knowledge about the food that they eat and the choices that they make. You know, what's the difference between a protein and a carbohydrate? Mm-hmm. You talked earlier, and my eyes lit up when you started talking about refined carbohydrates. Mm. So what's the difference between a refined carbohydrate versus, you know, a simple carbohydrate? And what impact and effect does that actually have on our body? But then also helping people to understand how to add fitness and activity into their daily life and be successful in doing so without it really becoming a chore. Mm-hmm. I think that's the really important bit, because it is possible for us to take part in some type of physical activity or exercise every day. Helping people to focus on where they are in terms of mindset and giving them the tools to help them build resilience and coping strategies. Mm-hmm. You know, we all start somewhere. You know, it can be really useful for people that are new to, say, exercise or activity, or want to change their relationship with food for the long term. You know, it can be tough at times to start that journey and then continue that journey in a really sustainable way. So actually giving people the tools to be able to help them build resilience and find coping strategies to stay on that pathway to success, mm-hmm. Is absolutely something I believe is that more holistic approach to health and well-being. So I think, you know, when I think about the types of people that might benefit, I guess, you know, it's important to me, as I said, that clients that I might work with really do understand, you know, why they want to make a change.
Yep.
You know, it has to come from them. It has to be quite deep rooted, and it has to be the right time for them. Mm-hmm. And also that, you know, when I speak to people individually on a one-to-one, that they come and have a really great open discussion with me, that we get to know each other, that we agree that we're the right people to work together. And actually, I'm able to, I guess, tailor and offer a personal service to that individual in order that it meets their needs. That's the thing that's really important to me. And not to generalise. You know, everybody's different. Mm-hmm. Everybody's journey's different, and everybody starts somewhere different, you know. So we can't compare one person to the next.
And I think you touched on the point there about making fitness and making exercise enjoyable. You know, I know lots of people that go out running.
Yep.
And they go out running because someone told them it was good exercise, but they don't particularly enjoy doing it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, one of the challenges is, you know, it doesn't matter what exercise you do, whether it's swimming or running or cycling, you've got to enjoy it. If you enjoy it and you know, you get pleasure, not just physical pleasure, but obviously, you know, it's mentally stimulating as well, you're more likely to commit to it and it become part of the routine. That's one of the hardest things I find with clients, is making them generate, or helping them to generate new habits.
Absolutely.
And for a lot of people, and we do live in a massively sedentary society, we just don't exercise enough. We don't, you know, people go from the house to the car to the supermarket back to the car, back to the house. And lots of people don't even go out for a quick 10-minute walk. And finding ways to help people not just exercise more, but find ways that they, you know, they can incorporate it into their daily routine and that they can enjoy what they do, I think is really, really important.
I couldn't agree more. I think that when we find something that we love and when we find something that we enjoy, we should think about the scientific facts that sit behind the reason why we then want to continue to take part in that activity or take part in that exercise. Yeah. You know, when we exercise and we enjoy it, it raises endorphins in our body. And when we raise endorphins, endorphins are a hormone. It's like a drug.
Yep.
It wants us to go back and do more again. We want that feeling again. Yeah. And I think you're absolutely right. It's really critical that we try and seek out what those opportunities look like. And it's interesting, actually, because you asked me earlier about, you know, where do I come from in terms of the things that are important to me? What are my beliefs? And it is about holistic health and well-being. It is about looking at the mind, the body, and nutrition. But I also you touched on something in terms of what also is important to me, which is making exercise accessible, mm-hmm. accessible and affordable for everybody.
Yep.
And I think that's really important. I think as somebody that has got, you know, the opportunity because of my now new qualifications, but equally my past experience in helping people to change for the long term in really sustainable ways, I have a responsibility to provide a service to our local community, mm-hmm. and to provide that service in a way that is really accessible and affordable. And gives people the choice. So come along to, you know, various different classes that I might run. There is something for everybody at a different location, at a different time. So, you know, being able to find something that you love,
yep.
there is lots of opportunities out there. And I think you're right. Don't force yourself down a road that you might not enjoy. That story made me smile about the running because, that's me.
Yep.
You know, I put my name down for a half marathon about 3 or 4 years ago. And I trained for 7 or 8 months to do that half marathon, but I hated running, and I've never would never do anything like that since. You know, it was for a great cause and I loved it, and we raised a huge amount of money, a small group of us, for a fantastic charity, but it's not something that I enjoyed. And I think what you've just said, you've hit the nail on the head. Find something you enjoy. You will love it. It will raise endorphins within your body. Yeah. You know, believe in the science, because you will keep going back. You'll want more.
And it does so much more for the mind. I mean, people think
they
exercise just to build muscle or for cardiovascular health. And obviously, you know, exercise does build muscle and it does help your cardiovascular system, but it's really good for the mind as well.
Absolutely.
And people don't realise the psychological benefits of exercise, not just the physical benefits. So what packages do you offer?
Well, they vary, actually.
Okay.
One of the things that I haven't talked about is the fact that, you know, some of my clients work with me for 12-week cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my clients work with me on a week-on-week basis. But what I do, as I touched on earlier, is I carry out a full consultation with each of my clients, and then I tailor a package to suit their needs.
Yep.
Some may need more support in exercise and personal training. Some may need more support like nutritional advice and building a better relationship with the foods that they eat. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, I'm a big believer that we all want to learn. We all want to learn how to, create great recipes and understand the different components of the foods that we eat. So some of my clients actually need that type of help in terms of building their capability and their knowledge about the food that they're consuming. Some might just need help in, potentially looking at the stability of their life and finding, you know, ways to lead a calmer, more centered life where they might need extra support, mentoring and coaching on a one-to-one basis. And the main thing that I focus on is, and this is really important to me, but the main thing I focus on is listening to the client,
mm-hmm.
treating them as an individual and only offering solutions based on their personal needs. As I said before, I never generalise.
Yep.
So, you know, that's kind of very broad, I guess.
I think it's really good as well, because I know some trainers do have this kind of one size fits all, and you're quite right. You know, people are individuals, and whilst there'll be a foundation of certain things that will be applicable to everyone, you do need to be able to tailor a package to the individual and make them feel individual and make them feel special as well.
Yeah, and you know what, Neil, I think, you know, that kind of one-to-one service isn't for everybody. So kind of touching on what I did earlier, you know, what I believe I have a responsibility to do is to provide a service to the community,
mm-hmm.
And being able to make those services accessible. So whether you come to me for a one-to-one coaching, and that could be on mindfulness and compassion and stress and anxiety management, or it could be around nutrition and basic advice around nutrition, or it could be about personal training and exercise.
Yep.
You've also got those other opportunities to come and be more social and have fun in a class-based environment where you could either do kind of a strictly come dancing-esque type class, ballroom and Latin aerobics, or you can take part in, you know, an old school legs, bums and tums type class, or even come and take part in what's becoming an extremely popular box hit class session, which is gloves and pads and actually taking part in interval training and boxing. So, and that seems to be growing in numbers, which is great.
Excellent, excellent. So what are your plans for 2018?
Well, I've kind of talked on this already, but I think continue to develop and grow the brand of Total Fitness by Stephanie. And remember what I'm all about, which is holistic approach to health and wellbeing. I will be focusing a lot more in 2018 on the mind and the mind element of mind, body and nutrition. And I'll be looking at ways to understand how I can support others from teaching and embedding the behaviours that come with mindfulness and compassion coaching. Mm-hmm. I'll continue to grow my portfolio of clients and also continue to offer a variety of classes at extremely affordable prices. I do want to make a difference to the wellbeing of the community. So that for me is the top thing on my agenda. And I hope to continue to do that with all the things that I've talked about today.
Fantastic. So how can people get hold of you? How can they contact you in the first instance?
Well, I'm hugely accessible. I'm very open. So all of my details are actually on my website. You can take a look at the Total Fitness by Stephanie website, which is very straightforward. You could either just type in Total Fitness by Stephanie. It's the first website that comes up on the internet. Or if you wanted to, it's www.totalfitnessbystephanie.co.uk. You'll find my email address there. And also my direct dial. So please don't be shy. Pick the phone up. Give me a call. Send me a text. And I'm also on all of the social media websites, with social media platforms, I apologise, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and obviously LinkedIn. So, yeah, you can find me there and I'd love to talk to you.
Fantastic. Thank you, Steph. It's been great to have you on this morning.
Thanks, Neil.
And I'm sure from your chat there, I'm sure people will make contact with you and chat further about ways in which you can help them.
Oh, thanks, Neil. It's been great. I've really enjoyed today.
Super. So we're into the last 10 minutes or so of the show. It's nearly 10 to 12 now. We're going to have one more song before we wrap up. And it's a classic from the 70s. So we've covered the 80s this morning. We've covered the 90s. And we're going to cover the 70s now with a classic from the great Stevie Wonder and a fantastic song of his called Superstition. Enjoy it. Superstition by Stevie Wonder. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, on Channel Radio. You can contact me via Twitter at Health Radio Show, or you can also find the show page on Facebook. Just search Health Radio Show. So, last 5 minutes of the show, we're going to wrap up shortly. But I'd just like to quickly talk about health in the workplace. Over the last couple of weeks, we have mentioned ways to improve health in the workplace because it is the thing at the moment, and quite rightly so as well. And what we're finding as well, certainly what I'm finding personally, is companies that see health in the workplace as an investment and not a cost are seeing the benefits of actually investing in the health of their staff in terms of productivity, and also in simple things like reducing recruitment costs and also employee downtime as well. So I've covered over the last couple of weeks, and you can go to my website and look at and listen to the previous tips that I've given you. But I've covered a lot of ways in which employees can improve health in the workplace. And I'm going to give you a couple of more tips here that maybe you can put into action in your workplace if you employ your staff. And again, if you do put these things into place, maybe give me some feedback. So we sit down a lot. Unless you've got an active job, people that are in an office tend to sit down a lot. And actually, there's been research papers out recently that studied 17,000 men and women over 13 years. And they found that people who sit for most of the day are 54% more likely to die of a heart attack, which obviously makes sense because they're not up and about. They're very sedentary and they sit in one place for a long time. So 54% more likely. That's quite scary. So here's a few tips that might be useful for your staff to put into place to help them to get around a bit more. So install standing desks, encouraging stand-up meetings. So, you know, rather than going into a boardroom and sitting down, stand up and have a meeting. I challenge you to do that. Have an expert come in and review your work environment. Encourage your team to take regular breaks, which is obviously quite good. Get up and move around, not just go to the coffee machine and back, perhaps go out of the office and walk around the block and get some exercise. Run a 10-minute stretch program every day, and also put in place a policy that says that people can't eat their lunch at their desk. Quite an interesting one, because I used to work in an office, and the amount of people that used to work at their desk and then go downstairs, get their lunch out of the fridge and eat at their desk as well. And actually put in place a policy that says, actually, if you want to have lunch, you've got to eat it away from your desk, and encourage them to go outside as well. So just a few tips there to encourage health in the workplace. If you go to my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk, click on the last two shows, so that'll be show two and show three, and there's more tips there as well to help you to find ways to improve the health of your staff. So we are literally in the last couple of minutes of the show now. Just a couple of quick points. If you'd like to listen to the show again, you can go to my website, click on the media page, or you can go to channelradio.co.uk/2, and you can click on the presenter button and you can listen to the show again. The next show is on next Monday at 11 o'clock, where we will be discussing diabetes, which is a bit of a hidden killer. Don't want to go doom and gloom on you, but there are 4 million people that are undiagnosed diabetics in this country, and it's actually quite scary. So I'm going to go through what diabetes is in simple terms, and also some of the symptoms that might be undiagnosed that perhaps you can relate to and might encourage you to go and check it out with your doctor. I'd like to thank Steph again for coming in.
Thanks, Neil.
Good to have you in.
Brilliant.
And don't forget, you can contact Steph through her website and her Twitter feed. And if you go to @TotalSteph on Twitter, you can make contact with her there. Don't forget, you can tweet into the show between shows if you'd like a shout out or if you'd like to say hello. And also, I'm looking for guest slots as well. So come the new year, I'm looking for people who might want to come on the show as a guest and as a platform to promote their business. So I'd like to thank you for listening. It's now coming up to 11:58, how quick the hour goes. I hope you found this show of interest. Please give me some feedback on Twitter. And if you have any questions, please drop me a line through my website or through the Twitter feed. But for now, it's been great to have you on board. And I'd like to say I'll see you next Monday and have a great week.
Heart is a blue, shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you'd found a friend take you out of this place, someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. So beautiful.